Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
On WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Here's Johnny.
And happy Friday, everyone. A football Friday. It's never a bad Friday when you can utter those words. A football Friday. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting from the Goggin Cole Hall Studios, the coldest team in town. Now offering great wages and benefits for drivers to join their winning team. If you want more information, you can go to their website, gogginkohl.com. We'll be with you tonight until 6:45 when we turn things over to Innsworth football tonight. Playoff action. Playoffs tonight over in Memphis. Taking on Briarcrest Christian.
There you go.
6:45, Jonathan Schaefer, Greg Pogue, Dan Bradley all on the call. Kickoff just after 7, and you at halftime, Jay, and then after the game, complete wrap-up of us as far as all the playoff action. And, this is a fun time of year.
Yeah, second round. Of course, now Division II are in their quarterfinals, and there's a lot of good games going on. I really like Independence taking on Cane Ridge, and Ravenwood got a really good game coming up. Beach hosting Summit, that's probably the biggest game right now, or those two teams. So we'll see what happens tonight.
Coming up at 4:35, Eric Bachrach. The Titans are off, but we'll still talk Titans with Eric. He's the Titans beat writer with the Tennessean. We'll also get his thoughts, too, more importantly, on the AFC South contest this weekend. One, where you got a head-to-head matchup with Indianapolis hosting Jacksonville, and then the other one, a big game, Houston on the road taking on Baltimore. Literally, at the end of the day on Sunday, we could talk about one game in the loss column separating first place and last place in the AFC South, and then let the chips fall where they may at that point.
Yep, and never know what's going to happen, and that's why the AFC South is one of the toughest divisions in the NFL.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say tough, maybe tough to win, but it's
that's
not.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, it's not because of greatness.
No, it's not because we got the greatest teams in it.
You got, you know, when if you're talking about a 500 team in very much in the thick of things as far as the division title, that means you got four teams that are mediocre. Yeah. If you're talking about that at the end of the day Sunday. So let's just cut through the chase, and we're not talking about the Patriots.
No.
And everybody's chasing down the Patriots in the AFC South. We're talking about a division of mediocrity.
And cannibals, basically. They're just beating up on each other.
Oh, stop with that, too. Yeah, what? I'm not even giving you that. Because,
you You're
know,
not even gonna give that, me that.
No, that connotation means also it's so powerful. Because you can say that about the SEC. If you say what you're talking about, the difference, the SEC is, you know, because you got tough teams beating up on each other. We're more or less talking about the Pac-12. And there's a reason why the Pac-12 is always debatable whether or not they're going to get their champ in the one of the four playoff spots. It's because it's a conference of mediocrity. They play non-conference matchups of mediocre teams as a whole from top to bottom.
Yeah.
There are exceptions, like Southern Cal taking on Alabama to begin the year next year in 2020. I mean, okay. There are exceptions.
Yeah.
But for those exceptions, then you get a lot of UC Davis is of the world, and a lot of directional schools.
Eastern Washington.
And when you only play three non-conference games and all three of your non-conference games stink, stop. That's the reason why Baylor, good example, why Baylor finds itself in the position as, despite being one of the five unbeaten teams remaining as far as the Power Five conferences, the reason why Baylor is 13th, and it's because they didn't play anybody in the non-conference. And then they've had to escape so many times as far as the Big 12. But they win. Yeah, stop.
Doesn't matter if you win. Depends on who you've played.
I'm still waiting clarification. I've got a phone call into the college football playoff organization.
Mm-hmm.
Just as clarification, because seems like this year, unlike what we've experienced starting in 2014, you know, the five previous years, is the fact that the downplay of what teams have done prior to the first poll. And it's almost like you're watering down some of the successes, you know, early on. Because if you're only measuring stick, and, you know, the committee takes in all kinds of data, which means they're also paying attention to what the general perception is of the ranked teams in the AP and the coaches poll. When you've got, you know, not a lot of difference, and when you feel like there's a consensus that what's a top 10 team in the September and in the month of October before they put out their first playoff committee poll, then that means you've got a quality win against a ranked opponent or top 10 or whatever. It just seems like this year there's a lot of, and maybe it's because we're a lot of politics are out there anyway, you know, for the next few months. Maybe they're going down that route. I don't know. But it just seems a little strange. And look, already you can see the lobbying going on, too, with the fact that, unlike, say, 2 years ago, I used the example where you had seven teams, which we thought that was really good, because usually it's really down to six teams competing for four spots. 2 years ago, we had seven teams where it was almost, and the fact that you had many of the teams playing each other was going to eliminate itself. While you're talking about Clemson or the Hurricanes of Miami in the ACC at that time, or Georgia, Bama, and Auburn in 2017 as well. Well, this year you got 11. Going into this weekend, 11 teams that had the opportunity to be one of the four playoff teams. And so when you got that many this late, there's going to be a lot of politicking going on.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. I mean, like Oregon, for example. Oregon certainly going to say, well, our only loss was to Auburn. And so if Auburn beats Georgia, hey, look, the team that beat us just beat Georgia, which is your number four. But then you can't sell it too much, because if you sell it too much, guess what happens? If you've got identical teams with only one loss, like, say, Alabama and Oregon, and then all of a sudden, then you get Alabama beating Auburn, the team that beat Oregon, then Oregon go, well, that's different. So you want to pump up Auburn to make your case look good short term, but then you almost want to downplay it at the end of the month if then Alabama beats Auburn because the team that beat you, the team you're trying to beat out for a playoff spot, just beat the team that beat you. And you go, oh, how do we make this work for us to back our case?
I don't think it matters how many teams you have in a quote-unquote playoff. It's going to always have this. And that's why I think you and I both agree on a four team, because you don't want to water it down. Because, you know, once we go, if they go to eight, it's going to go, well, let's go to 16, let's go to 32. No, keep it where it's at.
I got into this disagreement with Doug Segrist, who joined us, and he wants eight. And I gave an example, no exception.
Yeah.
Every year since 2014, you're going to have two lost teams in there. And then two, I think, of the last 3 years, and I can look it up real quick, too. You'd have a three-loss team as one of your playoff spot teams.
Right.
And so do we really want that?
No, I don't.
I don't.
I mean, honestly. I want to see teams with at least one loss.
Auburn in 2017 is the, from my standpoint, as a two-loss team, was the really, and they're in a position too. They won the SEC championship. They were going to get in as a two-loss team. That's my exception right there, based on what they had to do to get there, who they had to beat them, then, you know, I was okay for Auburn being in that position.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for the standpoint, if you're talking about two or three of your teams of your eight are going to have two losses or more, so usually you're talking about a couple of two-loss teams and a three-loss team. So be careful. A lot of times when you say, oh, we want eight, it's because you're not looking at who are those extra four teams you're talking about. And when you look at it from that, I mean, because this year is unusual. I mean, the fact that these teams I'm talking about have either no losses, which is represents five of the 11 teams I'm talking about, the other six have one loss. So 11 teams in contention with one or fewer losses. And so that's good. That's a good thing.
That's really good. Yeah.
This is actually an exception. We usually don't have this. And you're going to start seeing, you know, obviously, you Baylor, they're unbeaten, right? They're a 10-point underdog to Oklahoma. They're not expected to survive the weekend as an unbeaten, so you're going to probably lose one of those. And not unless something drastic happens, I don't see Ohio State as a 50. It'll be the biggest upset in the history of college football. I know you can start debating about some of the other ones now, but But if Ohio State is a 53-point favorite, which, by the way, the biggest spread in Big Ten as far as against
my jaw dropped when opponent, I saw that
53-point. And you know what I'm doing, by the way? I can just tell you right now. I'm taking the 53. I'm taking my chances because, yeah, most likely Ohio State's going to roll.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. I mean, 53, you almost have to play perfect. You can't allow any, you know, turnovers inside the red zone where it's an easy score for Rutgers. I mean, to get to win by 53 in a conference game, and despite how bad Rutgers is, I'm still taking Rutgers in the 53.
Oh, my goodness.
Because think about it. If they score just 10, you know, you get a cheap touchdown, you know, most likely they're going to be in a position to kick a field goal.
Right.
So that means Ohio State has to get at least 63. And to score that often, that means you got to do it quickly. And, you know, just too many things have to work out for you to win by 53.
Yeah, special teams plays, defensive touchdowns, it's stuff like that.
I mean, if they were playing Tennessee State or Austin Peay, or I would almost still take the Tennessee State or Austin Peay in that situation plus the 53.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough to beat any team by 53. But I don't know. You look at Ohio State, the way they've rolled on offense and what they've done on defense, I don't care. That's just asking for too much perfection on one side of the ball. And how motivated are you if you're Ohio State? When you look at your schedule and knowing you've got Penn State coming up, knowing you've got a Michigan game coming up too this month, oh, yeah, you're going to be fired up for Rutgers.
Scarlet Knights, man.
I don't think so. All right, coming up after 5, don't forget Lee Sterling at 505, handicapper with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. These are the games that we'll be looking at today, and and certainly a little bit of a nice mixture of both college football and the NFL. We're looking at Kentucky locally, a 10-point favorite against Vanderbilt. We're looking at the LSU contest on the road taking on Ole Miss. LSU, a 21.5-point favorite. Letdown? Can you see it? Here's the problem.
I don't think it'll be 21 points, but they're going to win.
I'm not going to say they're going to get beat. No, I think they're going to win too. But here's the thing with Ole Miss, John Rhys Plumlee and what he can do as the running quarterback, it's almost like Lynn Bowden, what he's been able to do for Kentucky. You're not accustomed to seeing that. I almost say I don't even need the points with Georgia and Auburn. I mean, we already know which direction I'm going because I've been saying it since July. Auburn is going to beat Georgia on Saturday. Georgia favored by 3 on the road going down to Auburn to play the Tigers. Like I said, I almost don't even need the points because I'm Auburn, and oh, by the way, Auburn again. And no, I'm not a homer
here
either.
This is from an Alabama fan even.
This is somebody growing up as an Alabama fan. I like the matchup. I like the fact that you get a different version of Bo Nix at home compared to the way he plays on the road. I mean, the stats don't lie.
Well, not just him, the whole team.
It's like Shakira. You know, the hips don't lie. In this case, the stats don't lie. Bo Nix at home averaging 261 passing yards per game. Zero interceptions at home. And on the road, 151 passing yards, and he's got the 6 picks.
Wow.
So I'm taking Auburn, Bo Nix. They'll find a way to get it done. And they also, oh, by the way, have Derrick Brown.
Yeah, when you got that beast in the middle of your line, that's always a game changer.
All right, the other two we'll discuss also with Lee Sterling just after 5. From the NFL perspective, you've got New England, a 3.5-point favorite on the road taking on Philadelphia. And you've got Baltimore at home, a 4-point favorite against Houston. And what is this that everybody's just jumped on the Russell Wilson bandwagon there, and he's like already giving him the MVP? Look, I was one of the first ones to start touting Russell Wilson, as far as MVP. But you cannot ignore Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. Would Baltimore be in this position without Lamar Jackson?
No.
And I know you can say, well, same thing can be argued with Seattle and Russell Wilson. I know. But the fact of and this is the coolest thing, too. I don't know if you had a chance to look at last week with Baltimore and their victory. But at one point, they lined up with the option in the backfield with not one, not two, 3 Heisman Trophy winners.
I did see that.
You had Lamar Jackson. You had RG3. From Baylor, and you had Mark Ingram. That's right. Mark Ingram is now playing with Baltimore this year.
Right.
So you had all 3 at the same time running the option in that backfield. How cool is that?
That's awesome. I mean, that's something you don't ever see hardly ever, especially nowadays. And that's just That was something special to see.
I would say how cool it would be if Baltimore plays here with that lineup there, and then you can match it with Marcus Mariota on the roster along with Derrick Henry with the Titans, but don't know if Marcus will be here next year.
Yeah, that probably ain't happening.
And so those are the five games we'll be taking on with Lee. Also at 5:35, our good buddy Trey Scott, national editor of college football coverage with 24/7 Sports. And then just after 6, Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline talking week 11 of the NFL. Open segment coming up if you would like to be a part of the show. 615-844-5600. That's 844-5600. Hey, by the way, if you're looking for an ideal destination, you know, the holidays just around the corner, looking for something fun to do, maybe a site for a holiday party, a family gathering, whatever the case may be, under one roof, I can tell you about a place that offers bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment, and a place where you can keep up with your favorite teams on the TVs located throughout as well. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the place I'm talking about. And with 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. You can get more information by going online at strikeandsparebowling.com, but visit their locations, Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also with laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Good afternoon. The police, fire, EMS all work in this accident out here on 40 westbound right near Donaldson Pike. They got one lane of traffic blocked here on 40 westbound at Donaldson Pike. The heaviest flow is going eastbound back out towards Wilson County, 4100 block at Lebanon Pike. That's a crash over in Hermitage. Lebanon Pike at Juarez Drive. That's also a wreck that was blocked in traffic. Get the lowest prices on most of your airline tickets. SmartFare save you 70% off. Call 1-800-915-2644. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Whether having heating concerns during the cold winter months or looking to cool off those hot summer days, nobody in Middle Tennessee is better equipped to serve your needs than Lanham's AC Service, your local Rude Pro partner. From heating and cooling issues to water heaters, you can count on Lanham's AC Service and Rude HVAC equipment with a system that fits your unique needs while doing it right the first time. Serving the area for over 30 years, owner Brian Eskew and his team are dedicated to providing the best possible solutions for your home or business while providing reliable and honest service for Nashville and Middle Tennessee. And they do it with the name brands like Rude you have come to trust. I should know, I have a new Rude in my house and have been a customer for almost a decade. And remember, financing is available and they service and repair all brands. So call today to schedule a service or maintenance call, 615-969-9065. That's 969-9065. Or go to lanhamsacservice.com.
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming.
Coming this Christmas, a man.
Hey, Bill King here.
His listeners.
Robin the 210.
And Biscuits.
I don't know if we realize how fortunate we are to have Music City Todd. That is a world-class facility.
Winter is coming.
Commitments 2019. Wednesday, December 18th at Bar Lines. In the Omni Nashville Hotel. 5th Avenue South, downtown Nashville.
We appreciate you. Appreciate WNSR.
Join the Bill King Show and celebrate National Signing Day.
Oh my God, Bill King just read my tweet.
For more info and commitments gear, log on to WNSR.com and get your special commitments rate at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Commitments 2019 from the Omni Nashville Hotel, the Bill King Show, and WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Winter is coming!
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over 2 decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
Middle Tennessee. Mike Conley returns Friday at 7 for the first time since being traded to the Jazz to face off against rookie sensation Ja Morant. The game is presented by Budweiser, and fans in attendance will receive a Mike Conley arm sleeve. For tickets, call 901-888-HOOP or Grizzlies.com. Then, Grizz Nation. Bring the family out on Kids Night to see your Grizz as they host Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets Sunday at 5. For tickets to this and all Grizz games, call 901-888-HOOP or ShopGrizzlies.com today. Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson, 615-844-5600. If you'd like to be a part of the show, broadcasting out of the Geigen Cole Hall Studios, I'd like to invite you to check out our countdown to kickoff tailgate show tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. to noon. Insights as far as the SEC landscape, top 25, college football playoffs, and more. We've got some interesting guests, as always. You know, Doug Seegers joins us every Saturday from Birmingham to talk SEC. But how about Toby Rowland? You know, he's got a busy day tomorrow, because tomorrow night he's going to be on the call as the voice of the Oklahoma Sooners against Baylor. But he's taking time out with us tomorrow morning around 10:20, the voice of the Sooners, and talking about what's in store for Oklahoma. Big game for them, still in the hunt, per se, as far as maybe shaking some things up with regards to the Big 12. Still could be a part of the four-team playoff. It starts tomorrow, though. I don't see. Here's the thing with Oklahoma. I can see them getting the win tomorrow night at Baylor, but then they play TCU. Then they're at Oklahoma State. I see another loss for Oklahoma over that three game stretch.
You think it'll be against Oklahoma State?
Probably. And here's the other part of it too. That most likely the matchup tomorrow night, we're going to see that same matchup as far as the Big 12 title game.
Yeah.
And so you. So if you didn't like the first go around, and here's the problem too, when you see a repeat like that, especially this late in the season, and for the most part you can make the argument fairly evenly matched kind of teams, I don't see the same team winning twice.
No.
So I see Oklahoma winning, and if they play again, I see a flip on the other side of it with, say, Baylor pulling off the win coming up on December 7th.
Right. Yeah, I can see Oklahoma winning this game, but then, you know, like you said, they play TCU, and then they got to play at Oklahoma State, which that game's always going to be down to the wire, and it's going to be high scoring. So Oklahoma's got a lot of things to work on, especially after that loss to Kansas State.
And I'm looking like you certainly, if you're the Pac-12, you're trying to make a case for Oregon or Utah. Most likely they will be playing each other as far as the winners of the North and South in the Pac-12 on December. They play, I think, the Friday, December 6th, as far as the Pac-12 title game. But you look at what Oregon has. You know, they're almost a four-touchdown favorite tomorrow against Arizona. But then next week, they're at Arizona State. That's, you know, Herm Edwards always has Arizona State playing a tough game, so that's not going to be easy. And then they wrap up with their rivalry game with Oregon State. You look at Utah, in their matchup, they're just over a 3-touchdown favorite at home against UCLA. UCLA, just when you want to discount them, they're too young or whatever, all of a sudden they shock you and surprise you, and they're in games they're not supposed to be in. So I'm not sure what to expect out of Chip Kelly's bunch. But then after that, Utah will be at Arizona, and then they host Colorado. Well, which version of Colorado will Utah get? Because Colorado, another one of those teams, just when you go, they're not going to be doing much, and then bam, they're right there. And so I don't have a lot of confidence that Oregon and Utah, both of those teams, will run the table either over these 3 weeks.
No, because like you said, I think a lot of the teams in the Pac-12 are very similar because they match up well. They have about the same type of skill players. Now, yes, Oregon and Utah have a little bit more firepower, but you cannot count out Arizona State with Herm Edwards. You cannot count out USC or even Washington at this point. It's hard to go on the road and beat anybody, and especially Colorado or Arizona State.
You look at Baylor. Baylor hosts Oklahoma tomorrow night, and then they get Texas next week, and then they wrap up with Kansas. I could see Baylor losing to the Oklahoma Sooners tomorrow night and then losing next week to Texas.
Right.
Texas, by the way, and this is really strange, the fact of all these meetings that they've had against Iowa State, They're the underdog for the first time ever. They're a touchdown underdog. Texas is. And Texas is the team ranked. They're 19th in the College Football Playoff Committee poll.
Right.
They're on the road at Iowa State. They're a 7-touchdown underdog to Iowa State. And this is the 17th meeting between these two teams. First time that Texas has been an underdog in these matchups.
That's crazy to think about. And I just wonder how Iowa State will come about that, knowing that they are a favorite by that much, or actually being a favorite for the first time.
Well, you also have a head coach that, just like Mark Stoops with Kentucky, he knows the eyes of Florida State and are upon him. The eyes of Texas are obviously on paying attention to, you know, the Iowa State team as well, in the sense that not only do they want to try to beat Iowa State, but Iowa State, their head coach is also in the thick of things as far as Florida State. So you start looking at potential, who's going to be the next head coach with the Seminoles, and immediately comes to mind. And look, all speculation, everybody assumes James Franklin is not going anywhere as far as head coach of Penn State. All the things are out there saying, ask. Don't just assume. And his buyout's only like $1 million. Only because you start looking at some of these other numbers and they're kind of significant.
15.
They're not as, I mean, like Mike Norvell is the best. I think his buyout's only $500,000.
Wow.
So you've got Mike Norvell with Memphis. Certainly his name's being linked there. Iowa State's head coach being linked there. Mark Stoops, who was the defensive coordinator under Jimbo Fisher back in 2012 before he got the job as head coach of Kentucky. His name is linked. And but the thing about the one that, You thought two names immediately, ask and see if what the interest, try to gauge that interest. Bob Stoops, who walked away from Oklahoma, but James Franklin, his name is one of those that says make the have the conversation, because it's not such, don't be so quick to assume he's going to say no is all the things I'm hearing.
Yeah, because, I mean, you think that he's with his dream job. I know he says that that's his dream job, but you can't tell me right now that you – what you've been doing these last, what now, six, seven years are helping you out, because if you go to Florida State, you got a lot better chance of getting better talent.
At Florida State, too, the only team you really need to worry about is Clemson. If you're at Penn State, you have to worry about Michigan. You have to worry about Ohio State. You have to worry about Michigan State. So you go, dealing with one, dealing with that. Where can I have the most success? Where can I enjoy my winters more? Not that it doesn't get cold in Tallahassee. It does. It's not prolonged.
Right.
And you may be laying out and working on your suntan in December down there. Unlike, I don't see you doing that.
If you do that in
Happy Valley.
In Happy Valley, that's not going to be good, because it's going to be about negative 10.
Now, if you're going into a building and having the fake tan, that might be a different story. But... So that's where we are with in all the conversation too. Florida State they're supposed to have somebody in place by the end of the month. So we'll see what happens with Penn State. Penn State has other things to worry about, knowing they get a tough Indiana team at home this week. Next week they're at Ohio State, and then they get the breather. Maybe this is when James Franklin can worry about Penn State, because they get Rutgers coming up on the 30th after Ohio State. But for the next next 8 days or so, he's worrying about taking care of business against Indiana tomorrow, and then finding a way to go on the road and tangle with Ohio State at Ohio State next week. All right, coming up, a chance to talk some AFC South, Tennessee Titans, and more. Our good buddy Eric Bacharach, he's the Titans beat writer for the Tennessean. He's coming up. Hey, by the way, speaking of football, it's still that time of year where you're having tailgating parties, viewing parties, and more. If you're planning on drinking, then have a plan. It's simple. Don't drink and drive. But drunk you makes bad decisions, so make a plan before you party. It's really that simple. The Tennessee Highway Safety Office reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk.
Good afternoon. It's picked up quite a bit now on the South Loop, the West Loop. They're about to wrap up this crash out here on 40 westbound at Donaldson Pike. They're just filling out the paperwork. It's really picked up on Ellington Parkway, trying to get northeast of the city. 65 really heavy now up through Madison, and 65 trying to get south out of downtown on the South Loop. We've had an accident in that general area up there near Broadway into Mubberry that slowed it down. Hey, get the lowest prices on most of your airline tickets. SmartFare save you 70% off. Call 1-800-915-2644. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Whether you're a startup business or an established brand, Stripe Design and Print want to help you ensure you establish the best brand for your business. From new projects to updating existing files, Stripe Design and Print has the expertise to turn your project into a reality. With banners, apparel, business cards, and more, Stripe Design and Print has you covered. Log on for a free consultation at StripeDesignPrint.com. That's StripeDesignPrint.com.
It may not require a textbook, but it's filled with valuable lessons. It may not take place in a classroom, but it's an ideal environment for learning. It may not involve a diploma, but it can help prepare Tennessee's young people for life. It's high school sports. High school sports can play a critical role in a student's overall education. In fact, studies show that students that participate in high school sports are more likely to enjoy greater levels of achievement in their academic lives. If you think high school sports are only about competition, think again. Better yet, think about attending a high school sporting event in your community. You'll be amazed by what you see. High school sports, a winning part of a complete education. This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Innsworth is a kindergarten through 12th grade coeducational independent school located on two campuses in Nashville, Tennessee. The school incorporates a nurturing community with a challenging program to create a unique, joyful environment where students can develop the intellectual agility, self-confidence, and discipline they need to excel. Visit our website at innsworth.com to learn more.
From the Max 96.7 WeatherBug Weather Center, for this afternoon, we'll see plenty of sunshine with temperatures near 50. It'll be mainly clear tonight, low 26. Saturday, sunny, high 54. Plenty of sunshine Sunday at the high 56. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network and National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. This segment brought to you by Brinkman's Wine and Spirits in Brentwood. As a reminder, coming up just after 5, handicapper Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com will join us as we look at some of the bigger college games and NFL selections as well. But right now, going back to the hotline with our weekly visit with Eric Bacharach, the Titans beat writer with the Tennessean. Eric, thank you as always. Welcome back, buddy.
Thanks, Johnny. Thanks for having me back on.
All right, so I was having this discussion with Jay and talking about the fiercely competitive and talented AFC South, and I had to put a stop because I said that, you know, after this dust settles on Sunday, there's the real possibility that one game could separate first and last place, and it's not because we have a lot of great teams in the AFC South, because if that is indeed the case, and we are talking about a 6-4 Houston team, and then 3-5-5 teams, that is the pure definition of mediocrity. Not good, not great, mediocre.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. And you know, the tricky thing is, if you're the Titans, it's just that, you know, it is so crowded. You know, I don't think there's any great teams in that mix. I think Deshaun Watson is a great quarterback, which to me gives Houston the edge, you know, far and away, just by virtue of having that position locked up for Houston. But yeah, I mean, any given week, you know, I think any of these teams could beat the other, which makes it really sort of a dart throw as far as who's going to come out on top. And, you know, you look around, and earlier on I thought maybe, you know, the AFC South could have two teams in the postseason with one of them winning a wild card spot as it happened last year. You know, but as sort of the season has rolled on, I'm a little less sure of that.
Hey, what is it with, you know, here's Houston. They have to go in and take on the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday. But, you know, it's just like, you know, watching Seattle and San Francisco Monday night. They're already engraving Russell Wilson's name in the MVP on the MVP trophy. Here's Baltimore, a five-game winning streak. They're one of only three teams that are talking about triple-digit difference between points scored and points allowed. And yet, you know, they don't seem to get any love. I don't understand the whole thing about, is it almost like, yeah, great that you're 7-2. You got a three-game lead in the AFC North. You got a five-game winning streak. But, you know, people feeling like, oh, Houston can certainly go in and beat Baltimore this weekend.
Yeah, I think that's kind of been the case all season. And a lot of that is still the uncertainty with Lamar Jackson, which at this point, you know, is obviously how do you question what he's done to this point?
I exactly.
Think there was, you know, rightful skepticism going into the year, but, you know, just his track record through the first two-thirds of the season really speaks for itself. And, you know, I was in Charlotte week nine when and I had a chance to watch that Sunday night game between the Patriots and the Ravens, and the Ravens really, really take it to the Patriots for all four quarters. And, you know, at that point, you know, at the Tennessee, and we make picks every week, and we pick every NFL game against the spread. And, you know, every single week I kind of, you know, had my doubts about the Ravens. At this point, I think all of that, you know, can be cast aside. They're legit. They have a good defense. They have a good offense led by Lamar Jackson and what he's able to do with his arm, which, you know, people were skeptical about coming out of college, but he's proven that, and obviously what he could do on the ground. They're a really good team. They might be, you know, the best team in the AFC. I'm still, to me, I still give that to the Patriots despite what happened in that game, but it's really close to me, and I think the Ravens are the real deal. I do think the Texans can win, you know, against anyone with Deshaun Watson, but I think it's a really tall task for them this week facing Baltimore.
The interesting thing when we look at the Indianapolis matchup as they host Jacksonville on Sunday, we have a Nick Foles sighting, and Jacoby Brissett will be starting for Indianapolis on Sunday.
Yeah, and you know, so it'll be interesting if you're the Titans. At least somebody gets a loss. You're hoping that the Jaguars win that game. The Titans obviously are still 0-2 in the division. Still have two games against the Texans and one each against the Jaguars and the Colts. So that'll be interesting, you know, just the fact that they've got Jacoby Brissett, but I still have trouble sort of wrapping my mind around what happened last week with the Colts falling to the Dolphins. You know, Brissett was not under center for that game. They had Hoyer, and you know, we all kind of thought that wouldn't have made that big a difference with sort of just the discrepancy between the two teams, but the Dolphins have kind of, you know, shown a pulse here of late. But it's still kind of shocking that result. But you know, this will be an interesting game, you know, between two teams that you know, as we've alluded to, are right there for the mix for the division, as is everybody in the AFC South. And we'll see if, you know, the Colts could you know, move, get another game of separation, or the Jaguars could get up to 500.
I mean, the bottom line is, it's great that the Titans can find ways to win against teams in the NFC. But if you want to win a division, and if it comes down to tiebreakers, you can't be in the position that the Tennessee Titans finds itself in right now. I mean, they are 0-2 in the division. They're last in the tiebreakers in that category, and they're 3-4 against AFC opponents. And once again, last in that category, the four teams as well in the AFC South.
Yeah, they're 5-5, and you know, that looks good. But as you just mentioned, they've really shot themselves in the foot with who they've beaten and sort of all these tiebreakers. You know, but at the same time, Johnny, it is still all there in front of them. You know, they have the Jaguars, then the Colts. If you win those two games, and you know, I think the Jaguars game is certainly winnable. The Colts game, that game on December 1st, going to Indianapolis. You know, we all know the Titans' track record there and against the Colts, even without Andrew Luck. You know, it is still all there out in front of them. They play the Raiders. They play the Texans twice. The Saints will be tough, but that's not a conference game. You know, so if they can get it together, if they get healthy during this bye week, it is still there in front of them. It's just going to take, you know, what would amount to an improbable sort of run here in you know, the latter portion of November and all of December.
As far as with six games remaining, perfect time for the bye week for the Tennessee Titans. It'll give the team more opportunities to get healthier before they take the field again against Jacksonville next week. But, you know, you look at Delanie Walker. What does he mean to the Titans in the last six? Or have the Titans moved on and away from Delanie Walker? And then, but certainly another key player that the Titans are hopeful to get back into action is Jarrell Casey there along the defensive front.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm trying to think of another player on the Titans who, you know, aside from the quarterback or Derrick Henry, who might be more impactful as far as taking him out of the lineup than Jarrell Casey. That's a huge absence, a huge void, you know, in the front of your defense. And yeah, they've had Jeffrey Simmons playing well and Daquan Jones. But to get Jeffrey Simmons, I mean, Jarrell Casey back will be huge. And from what we heard from the Titans before, you know, they went on this bye week, it does seem like at the very least Jarrell Casey will be back out for practice next week as far as his availability for that Jaguars game at Nissan Stadium. You know, that remains to be seen. We'll see how much he could do at practice. And, you know, if he's back up to full speed or not, you know, that shoulder injury has lingered a bit for him. But that's a big absence. And, you know, as far as Delanie Walker, I think we'll see. He expects to be out there for the Jaguars game, which is the Titans' next game after their bye week. You know, as far as what to expect from him, he's still, you know, an important part of this offense. But, you know, just again, he's getting up there in age. The ankle injury is something that is certainly a concern, just because it's something that's lingered from last year. You know, and on top of that, you know, the good news for the Titans is that they've had Jonnu Smith emerge a little bit. They've got Anthony Firkser, who honestly might have the surest hands on the team. He's really good. That part of his game is really developed just as a pass catcher. He's very reliable on that front. So, you know, as they sort of did last year, the Titans are proving to have valuable depth at tight end behind Delanie Walker. Now, if he could come back, that's obviously a big boost, but you know, if I'm a Titans fan, to sort of bank on that and rely, you know, on the consistent production that, you know, Delanie was giving the Titans before last year, you know, six catches a game, 80 yards a game, that might be a bit much. You know, I still think he's trending in the right direction and could certainly provide an impact. But the good news, again, is just that they have the depth there that is sort of cushioning that blow.
Eric Bachrach with the Tennessee. And one of the things that I was certainly noticing on Sunday, because the trend continued, that, you know, when the Titans with Ryan Tannehill now at quarterback, once they get into the red zone, now, with that said, I mean, I go back to some opportunities where they had to go, what, 6 yards in one after a penalty,
right,
less than 10 on another. But the bottom line is, once, you know, overall, since Ryan Tannehill has emerged as a starter, once the Titans get into the red zone, they're not settling for field goals. They're scoring touchdowns every time.
10 of 10, Johnny, which is, you know, of all the stats since Ryan Tannehill has taken the starting quarterback job, that to me is the most remarkable, just the fact that the Titans are 10 of 10 in the red zone. You know, they're now, I believe it's 72% in the red zone for the season, which leads the NFL, which is kind of hard to believe. But, you know, that's number one, it's important. You know, just because your field goal kickers aren't exactly reliable at this point. You know, the Titans are 7 of 15. That percentage is worst in the NFL amongst all teams. You know, so there really are no gimmies when you're less than 50% on field goals. So it's been important, you know, in that regard. But also, you know, just for a Titans offense that once it does get inside the red zone, it's able to score, because long drives, you know, even with Ryan Tannehill, who's played, you know, really well and obviously much better than Mariota, it's still been, you know, not necessarily easy to come by. So, you know, when they do get down there, you can't take even those 5-6 yard touchdown passes, you know, when the Bucs are giving it to them inside the red zone, inside the 10-yard line. You can't even take those for granted, because, you know, you could just as well be settling for field goals, but the Titans are not. It's been a very big part of their success since Tannehill's taken over, and we'll see if that can continue. But no doubt it's been a big part of what's going on for the Titans right now.
One other thing here before we let you go, you know, besides what we've discussed about the importance of taking care of business inside the division play as far as the AFC is, you know, South opponents, knowing you've still got four matchups still to come, But, you know, one of those key conference games that you're going to be playing if you're the Titans, you get Oakland in the month of December. Here's a team, you know, they find themselves in right now in that sixth spot with Pittsburgh's loss last night. And so here's a team that's only a game ahead of the Titans as far as in the loss column, which means an opportunity once again, you know, to play yourself in a position to, even if you don't win the division, you can still play yourself into that last wild card spot as well.
Yeah, that's going to be a really big game, Johnny. And you know, that's a long trip for the Titans out to California. You know, I've thought maybe they would travel. You know, they usually travel out on Saturday for road trips. We'll see if they travel Friday just to give themselves an extra day there you know, sort of cushion the travel toll that takes. But you know, another really big game for the Titans, and a game that, you know, I think earlier in the season or even before the season, he kind of looked at and saw that as a chance to pick up some ground with, you know, a bunch of tough games around it with the Texans, the Saints, and the Colts. But that's obviously not the case. The Raiders are playing really well. You know, they've earlier in the season for me, they were kind of trickier to figure out, just sort of from week to week. Kind of felt like a Titans team, honestly, just from what we saw each week. But they're starting to develop some consistency here. You know, Derek Carr, to me, is a little bit underrated. Josh Jacobs, you know, rookie out of Alabama, is playing like a rookie of the year candidate. So that's going to be a really tough one in Oakland. You know, and for those fans down there, it's going to be, you know, one of their last chances to see the Raiders in that stadium in Oakland. So, you know, I expect a really hostile atmosphere for that one. You know, at that point, we'll see where the Titans are, but they could very well be in the thick of it with a lot on the line in that game. So every single one down the stretch is going to matter a lot for the Titans, and that one certainly is right up there too.
Eric, as always, we appreciate you, buddy. Remind the listeners again, not just over the stretch run here, but throughout the year, the ways to keep up with your coverage of the Titans and more.
Sure. If you go on Twitter, you could follow me at Eric Bachrach. And if you go online to Tennessean.com/sports/Titans, you can find all my stuff there.
Eric, thank you again. Have a wonderful weekend. Looking forward to talking to you again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you, buddy. Eric Bachrach with the Tennessean, the Titans beat writer for the Tennessean. Don't forget, coming up just after 5, handicapper Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. You know, whether you're talking about his favorite bourbon, her favorite bottle of wine, magic moments begin at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits in Brentwood. So here's the thing, whether hosting a holiday party coming up, a tailgating party, whatever the case may be, or maybe you're just looking for a nice bottle of wine for dinner, you can't go wrong with Brinkman's Wine and Spirits with an impressive array of wines and spirits to choose from. How many times have you been in a supermarket wandering up and down the wine aisle, getting more confused and frustrated by the minute? And when you ask for help, they know less than you do. Tim Brinkman and the staff at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits will make you feel welcomed and appreciated. Plus, they have a passion for personal service to help you make the best selection for your specific taste and budget. The originator of local bourbon tastings, there's always opportunities to discover new spirits and wine. Looking for gift ideas? They can assist you with suggestions for all occasions. So rediscover Brinkman's Wine and Spirits, located at 7110 Town Center Way, just east of Franklin Road and the roundabout by the Brentwood Post Office. Do me a favor as well. Let them know that the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show and Nashville Sports Radio sent you good, better Brinkman's.
Good afternoon. It's quite heavy out here, but hey, it's Friday here on the South Loop, the West Loop, Antioch Pike at Glen Cliff. That wreck is blocking the intersection. Dickerson Pike at Briley Parkway on a two-car collision. Starting to really get heavy now here. 65 up by Metro Center, up by Rosa Parks, and also now on 65 down into Franklin Brentwood. Hey, Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check them out this weekend. 5814 Nolensville Pike. That's Prince's Hot Chicken. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
The final lap with Carrie Murphy is on.
This is the weekend we've all been waiting for. The championship race from Homestead Miami Speedway. Four drivers will battle for the 2019 Cup Series Championship. We've got one Ford and three Toyotas. Chevrolet sidelined yet again. So how do you win the 2019 Cup Series Championship? It's pretty simple on paper, but not really in execution. Just finished better than the other three drivers. That's it. Martin Truex Jr., he and crew chief Cole Pearn are back in the season finale with yet another shot at the title. He already has one championship in his back pocket. Kevin Harvick is also back, and he'd like to add to his one Cup Series championship so far. Kyle Busch also back and would like to add to his one Cup Series championship. And Denny Hamlin is the only driver of the four without a series title, also the only driver who didn't compete in last year's Final Four. Homestead Miami Speedway is the place, and you've got double coverage on NBC and NBCSN on Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern on NBC. Don't forget the other two National Series, Xfinity Series Championship 4, are, of course, Justin Allgaier, Christopher Bell, Cole Custer, and defending champion Tyler Reddick. Over in the Truck Series, there four are Stuart Friesen, defending champion Brett Moffitt, Ross Chastain, and Matt Crafton. Who will hoist the trophies to close out the 2019 NASCAR season from Homestead Miami Speedway? Check your local listings and your online providers.
Like us at facebook.com/thefinallap. The holiday season is here, and it's time for our best offer of the year during the Ford Black Friday event. Now, for a limited time, get 20% estimated savings on select 2019 Ford models. You're ready, and so are we. Start the season off right, and don't wait to enjoy our best deal of the season. That is 20% estimated savings on select 2019 Ford models. The Ford Black Friday event ends soon, so hurry in today. Eligible on select 2019 model year vehicles. Vehicle must have arrived at dealer at least 61 days prior to the sale date. Estimated savings include an average dealer discount based on a sales survey of average discounts offered by Ford dealers nationally. Discount may vary. Dealer determines price. For all offers, take new retail delivery from an authorized Ford dealer stock by December 2nd, 2019. See participating dealer for complete details.
Mid-10 Trailer Repair reminds listeners that we depend on our military to protect our nation. Honor them with a care package. If you don't know what, where, or how to send a care package to our troops, just call your local veterans organization. This message is from Mid-10 Trailer Repair, an on-site trailer repair company. Visit them online at mid10trailerrepair.com or call Justin for all your trailer repair needs at 931-409-4453.
Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. Coming up just after 5, Lee Sterling, handicapper with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. Here's the sad part. I mean, you're a fan of Vanderbilt as far as football, right, Jay?
Sure.
And I know it's now basketball season. Soon it'll be baseball season, so you can get distracted. But here we have a college game in town tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I have to be honest with you, it kind of reminds me of like when the SEC first started going over to Atlanta as far as the SEC championship game. After the first few years, they have so many events going on there. It's like, oh, it's great, but we also got Falcons. We got this, we got that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We have a college game here tomorrow in the SEC with Kentucky and Vanderbilt. Look, I haven't had one person mention it to me. What do you think about the game tomorrow? I haven't had one person mention to me about only thing I've heard, and that's been the general thing, what's going to happen with the Vanderbilt football program with Derek Mason and all that.
Right.
But as far as specifically about it, a fact, there's a football game being played here in Nashville tomorrow afternoon between Kentucky and Vanderbilt. I mean, has anybody mentioned it to you?
No, not really. I mean, I've seen some, people on, have talked about it on Twitter, and I've had my cousins and stuff call me and ask me about it. But other than that, I haven't really seen any publicity or anything.
See, that's the other problem, by the way, because everybody just assumes if you're associated with Vanderbilt that, well, they know that they can just check a schedule somewhere, then go online and figure out when a football game is. There's so many, look at how many visitors that come to this city. Heck, even say a Kentucky grad may not, you know, maybe tied up on business or whatever, and may not realize, oh, wait, Kentucky's in town. Mm-hmm. I'm in town. I don't want to go shopping. I got, you know, 3 or 4 hours. I can do something else. This place should be plastered with the fact that, no offense to George Plaster, should be plastered with the fact that there's a football game.
Yeah.
And you don't get any of that.
No. I'll be very interested to see how many people's in the stands.
I'll give you an example of what Birmingham used to do when Auburn and Alabama used to play some of their home games in Birmingham at Legion Field.
Right.
The week of the games, they would actually be these flags in downtown Birmingham with whoever was playing. So say if Alabama's playing Mississippi State or if Auburn was playing Ole Miss, whatever the case may be, there would be actually flags for both of the schools up and down as far as downtown. You know, this is a visitation city. All these visitors coming to our area, right? Destination city, and there should be things like that. Has anybody at Vanderbilt even asked?
Nope.
Hey, any kind of cooperation at all? Any kind of marketing efforts out there?
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either. Hour number one in the books, and then you wonder why the place is half filled. Hour number two coming up. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.